The Culture Proof Podcast thanks BJU Press Homeschool, our premier sponsor. We are super excited about biblical worldview woven into every subject that we teach. We are also excited about the BJU Press Homeschool secret sauce. I'm talking about the homeschool consultants who are spread all across the country, who once you purchase your curriculum, don't leave you to figure it out by yourself. They are there for you and with you on your homeschooling journey. I cannot recommend more highly BJU Press Homeschool, that comes equipped with homeschooling consultants who are praying for you, who are walking alongside you as you disciple and train your kids and ready them to live in a culture that is hostile to truth. Visit our friends today at BJUPressHomeschool.com. That's BJUPressHomeschool.com. Tell them that the Addison sent you. Thanks for listening to Culture Proof. I'm Miki.
And I'm Will.
And today we're talking about parental rights and how parental rights have been winning at the polls and some of our national elections. Certainly, you know, I think a lot of people are paying attention to the polls. You know, we had Super Tuesday and people are paying attention to the polls. And I think the big thing is like the presidential election. Mm-hmm. I say I think. Of course, the big thing is the presidential election. But there are some down ballot races that we need to pay attention to. And the one that really grabs my attention, or the ones that grab my attention, are the ones that show that parents are paying attention to those they are electing and how it impacts the way they get to parent. Mm-hmm. And what their kids will encounter when they are away from them, namely in the public school system. And so I think that's really interesting. Saw a couple Christian Post articles that I thought were worth talking about, looking at what's happening on some ballots in Texas and also looking at what's going on in Oklahoma. So I want to talk about that. But before we start to talk a little bit about politics and, and how parents are showing up for their kids, you know, we want to talk about a little bit of church history, because this weekend we're going to celebrate St. Patrick's Day. And I don't know what that's going to look like for a lot of people. At the very least, I think people will probably wear green, and this is going to fall on a Sunday.
Yeah.
And so we want to do a couple of things. One, we want to highlight St. Patrick. And then two, we also want to do something fun on our webpage. And so what we are doing, if you go over to our website, cultureproof.net,
cultureproof.net,
then you will see a discount promotion for 50% off our green Culture Proof t-shirt. So if you are interested in a Culture Proof t-shirt, now might be the time to do that, because all of the green Culture Proof t-shirts for youth and adults are half off, because we are celebrating. It's fun. It's fun to do. We're celebrating St. Patrick's Day. And so if you go to our website, cultureproof.net, you'll see that promotion there. Hopefully you'll take advantage of it. And hopefully it'll be fun to listen in on a little bit of a historical background on St. Patrick's. Well, not just his celebration, but his life and what the Lord used him to do. One of the things that I think is absolutely fascinating that may be little known by many Americans and many Christians, and I would say, because this is church history, so this is a part of our eternal family's history, is that St. Patrick wasn't even Irish. How about that? He certainly wasn't a leprechaun. Like, I don't know what people, I don't know where that comes from either. Yeah. I don't know if people think, I don't know, and I'm not going to speculate, but I do know the church history side of it. And I think it's fascinating to know that St. Patrick, before he was St. Patrick, was a 16-year-old young man in Britain, and he was actually taken into slavery by some Irish marauders, or marauders. What do you call them? Those
marauders,
people?
Marauders.
Yeah. Raiders of the Lost Ark.
Raiders. I mean, same
anyway.
Thing.
Well, he was taken as a slave from his home back to Ireland, and became like a pig herder, and was enslaved for like 6 years until in a dream. And this is church history. You know, he says that he had a dream And in this dream, he was shown like a cargo ship that he would be able to get on and gain his freedom, making his way back to Britain. Mm. His family, his dad was a deacon, so he had a Christian family. And he, according to his own writings, described himself as sort of like a nominal Christian. But it was when he was enslaved in Ireland that he really converted, that he really became a believer and a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ. And anyway, the Lord spoke to him in a dream, and he actually made his way back to Britain. The thing that is interesting, and this is 5th century AD, mm-hmm. Near the end of, like, I want to say in the 490s. He has this dream once he makes his way back to Britain. And in the dream, he says that there were babies who were crying out for him to come back to Ireland to preach Christ. Wow. Come back to Ireland and preach Christ. And of course, you know, he felt like he was undereducated and he felt like he wasn't trained in theology. He wasn't equipped to do that. But eventually he does go back to Ireland and he brings the gospel to Ireland. He then is known as sort of like the bishop of Ireland. He brings the gospel and leads to the Christianization of Ireland. Is that a word? Christianization?
Yeah. Why not?
Well, because, you know, functional is not. And so anyways, so this is fascinating to me. I really do have a love for church history and understanding how the Lord weaves together all of these stories, yeah. You know, those of obedience, those of doubt, and how the Lord works with humanity to build the kingdom, right? So anyway, St. Patrick yeah. is a part of that history where he evangelized Ireland and did that at great risk to his own life because, you know, the Irish were... some might say still are sort of a rowdy bunch, you know what I mean? And a little bit dark, you know, maybe having a little bit of an affinity for the macabre, you know, like skulls and things like that. And so he constantly faced martyrdom, especially in pulling down the type of idol worship that was engaged in Ireland. And so anyway, when I think about that and I think of, you know, St. Patrick, even some might call him an apostle to Ireland, how the Lord used him in his sovereignty, God used him. And he started out as a slave, you know, being taken from his land
yeah,
into a land that was not his own, right. You know, and forced to work as a slave. Okay. But I think, man, so often we don't think about the sovereignty of God in our suffering. Out of his suffering yes. came the evangelization of a nation. I feel like Jesse Jackson. Anyway, I just look at what God does, you know, when we allow him to write our stories,
yeah.
even as he, man, this blows my mind that the Lord works with even the wickedness of man to bring about his purpose.
Right.
And when you think about it, that's really all God has to work with. Right? Because when you're talking about man, you're talking about sinful man, that's all God has to work with. Yeah. You know, anyway, so in thinking about what God does to build his kingdom, I just think it's fascinating. And, you know, what's interesting is that as we celebrate St. Patrick's Day in America, St. Patrick's Day has become kind of known as one of those, you know,
just party type.
Drink a lot of beer, you know, go to the pubs and things right. like that.
And but it wasn't always how it came from what we are talking about here with St. Patrick to where it is now in America. It's yeah. crazy when you think about that. And that happens with other days as well. It seems like, you know, you have a way of making it, you know, something that is not supposed to be.
Yeah.
But anyway, yeah, it's just weird that when you talk about St. Patrick and the great gift to the body that he was, and, you know, William Federer has a book about St. Patrick.
Oh, yeah, that's
which
right.
He great talks Christian about experience. Some of the miracles that were told to happen. You know, and it's amazing to hear yeah. some of these miracles. I was like, man, like people being raised from the dead
yes.
and things like that.
Yes.
You know, and it was like, you know, we can't be certain for certain about this, but this is what was, you know, communicated.
That's right.
As happening during his time.
And that's right.
It's amazing.
It's interesting because it almost kind of like falls into the category of what you would call legend. And I'm kind of on the fence as far as how I feel about, you know, calling what is a part of his biography legend. Mm-hmm. I know that just because it's called a legend doesn't mean that it's not true. But there are some things in there that you go, wow, that's amazing. Like he was known, or at least according to legend, to have been used by God to raise people from the dead. Some people who have been dead or had been dead for many years. Mm-hmm. There's also another account where there were some mariners who were traveling on land at the time and found themselves in a secluded area, kind of stranded. And he prayed for provision for them. And legend has it that out of nowhere, pigs wandered among them that they were able to then slaughter and use for food. There's that. And then there's also the national flower for Ireland, the shamrock, which, mm-hmm. you know, is credited to St. Patrick, using this flower to explain the Trinity to non-believers. And so, I mean, I just think that that's incredible when you think about the history of the church and how God, you know, through men all around the world has been advancing and building his kingdom. And he's been doing that. The thing that strikes me about St. Patrick's testimony or about his story is that God built the kingdom through St. Patrick in the area that he dispatched him to. And it was also characterized by suffering.
You know,
like when we think of being it's enslaved, true. We say, how can God be glorified in my imprisonment? How can God be glorified with me, you know, being a slave? I think Joseph would be able to testify to that. Right. I think the Israelites would be able to testify to that. I think Black people in America would be able to testify to that.
Right.
That's pre-wokeness. You know what I mean?
Because
once you're woke, you really can't see the sovereignty of God. All you can see is what, you know, people owe you, right? You can't say, man, what the devil meant for evil, God meant for good, right? And so anyway, that's what God did with St. Patrick. What the devil meant for evil, he was captured as a slave. God meant for good to bring the gospel to Ireland. So in celebration of that and in remembrance of that, we want to do something fun on our website. So if you go to cultureproof.net, that's cultureproof.net. Mm-hmm. All of the green t-shirts are 50% off. And so you can get yourself a green t-shirt. This promotion is going to run until Monday.
That's
so
right.
You're listening to the podcast on Friday. That means you've got Saturday and Sunday. It will not get to you in time enough to wear on Sunday.
Right.
So you can wear it next year on the 17th because St. Patrick's Day is every year on March the 17th. This year it happens to fall on a Sunday.
And, you know, it's a great time to have this type of deal going on because it's about to get warm.
That's
so
exactly
these are
t-shirts.
Right.
That's right.
So you can have your culture proof t-shirt and rock it as it's getting warmer. So,
that's exactly right. Yeah. That's exactly right. Are you thinking right now about summer camp for your 8th to 12th grade students? Well, we want to invite you to allow your kids to join us and our entire family for a week of summer camp in North Carolina. That's right. This is the third year that we will be at the North Carolina Refuge.
Yes.
We are super excited about a week of culture proofing. July 21st through the 26th, we are going to discuss biblical worldview. We're going to train your kids in biblical worldview, and we are not holding back. We are going to defend the truth of Scripture. We are going to look to the Word of God for how we engage the culture.
Yes.
Our aim is to ready kids to be able to live in this world while not having this world live in them. You can learn more by going to ncrefuge.org. That's ncrefuge.org. We will be there with all of our children and even a few mayflies.
Maybe just a few.
Just a few.
But you know what? Great times of worship. Great times of fellowship. It's just going to be a great time. So sign your kid up today.
ncrefuge.org, ncrefuge.org. If you've got questions, you can email us mail@cultureproof.net. That's mail@cultureproof.net. All right. Well, let's turn our attention to homeschool parents defeating other officials. That's just one story here. This is from the Christian Post. Ryan Foley reporting on this. Last week, a homeschool parent whose campaign centered on parental rights defeated North Carolina's incumbent state superintendent of public instruction, while several candidates supportive of parental rights ousted incumbent members of the Texas House of Representatives during Super Tuesday primary elections. Again, a lot of people paying attention to, you know, the presidential aspect of the ballot, but there are a lot of these down ballot races that we need to pay attention to because it's important for us to think about, you know, what is at stake, not just, you know, depending on who's in the White House, but who is at the local level, and in some ways affecting what happens right in your house, you know, and how you get to parent your kids.
You know, it's exciting to see parents being mobilized finally, you know, on these type of issues. And there's such a, you know, a momentum in that vein, because man, it's time for that. It's been time for that. Like, you know, it's been time that parents say, hold on, parental rights. We have rights, you know, that have been given to us by God to parent our children.
That's right.
And so, I'm happy to see that there's a standing up now, and there's a, you know, initiative, and people are really trying to say, you know, hey, this is something that we need to think about and we need to fight for.
Yeah.
And so it's great to see that.
And recognizing that we shouldn't be allergic to serving God through the vehicle of politics, you know, not serving politics, but serving God through politics.
Right.
I think this is so important. We are at a place where parents, I think, just can't ignore what we see happening in our local schools, what we see happening at a national level, how at every turn it seems that our kids, the attempt at least, is to wrestle our kids away from our authority.
Right.
And so I think when you see down ballot elections like this, it's parents saying we have had enough, right? And recognizing that there is power that has been entrusted to them to affect local elections, not only in how they vote, but in whether or not they run for these offices. And what we are finding now is that those who are pro-parental rights and agreeing with God that parents are put in place by God for a reason, they stand a chance at winning these elections. I'll get back to this article here. It says that while much of the Super Tuesday coverage focused on presidential contests taking place across more than a dozen states Tuesday, primary elections for several boards of education and state superintendent of public instruction races, in addition to other down ballot races that will impact education at the state level, took place in some states. Candidates in support of education reform and or homeschooling experienced strong support in Tuesday's elections. I've got to say, this brings me a lot of joy, and not for the politics of it, but because it reveals that parents know what's at stake.
Yeah.
They recognize that, man, we're in the final inning here, and we've really got to step up either by the way we vote or maybe just frankly getting involved in some of these races saying, you know, and I know this sounds cheesy, but I'm going to be the change that I want to see. And so anyway, it just shows that parents are doing that.
And, you know, when you think about it, these elections, these local elections, these state elections are as important as the national
election. That's right.
Because
that's
a lot of the stuff and the change can happen at the ground level.
Mm-hmm.
So to see that there is mobilization at that level is very, very exciting, because that's where change really happens, right there, you know, state level and in the cities and school boards and different things like that. That's where you can really affect the change.
You know, and to the point that you're making, because I believe that what you're saying is true, these elections may be even more important than the presidential election. You know what I mean? When you think of the micro impact that it has on your day-to-day living, how you parent your kids, what is perceived as your right as a parent, to your point, I think that these elections may be bigger than we have historically recognized them to be.
Yeah.
Getting back to this article here, it says that results from the North Carolina Superintendent of Public Instruction election compiled by Ballotpedia show that a woman by the name of Michelle Morrow defeated incumbent Superintendent of Public Instruction Catherine Truitt in the Republican primary. Morrow received 52.1% of the vote, while Truitt earned 47.9% of the vote. According to her website, Morrow has, quote, 16 years of classroom homeschooling experience with expertise in developing robust high school curricula for civics, history, science, and English. Morrow, after this Super Tuesday win, will go on to face Democrat Mo Green in the general election. Morrow's campaign website identifies the candidate as known throughout North Carolina for working with voters and elected officials that protect parental rights and girls in sports.
Wow.
Now, if you start seeing protection of girls in sports winning at the ballot, you just better watch out.
Yeah.
As you continue to see parents stepping up, you continue to see these issues. Sometimes what happens is we start to get tired of the discussion and we think it's over.
Mm-hmm.
And we think maybe there's nothing left for us to attempt to win. But I think when you see results like this coming back from the polls, I think we show that the fight is not over and that there is still ground left for us to take.
Yeah, it's amazing that she beat out an incumbent, you know, to get that position. Well, she still has to face the Democrat, but she beat out an incumbent. That's hard to do, you know. So that's showing that, man, there's a change happening. There are people who are paying attention to what's going on in culture, and they're like, man, we want this stuff to stop, you know. So if you have a candidate that aligns with that, you know, and a strong candidate that says that, hey, we want to give the rights to the parents, you know, we want to be able to stand for that, protect women in sports and things like that, man. So yeah, watch out.
You know, it's interesting because Texas also had like a pun intended Super Tuesday as far as parental rights go. And that's thanks in part to the Texas Homeschool Coalition, which, by the way, remind me to talk about the fact that we're going to be speaking at both of those conventions this year.
Yeah.
You can go to cultureproof.net if you want to see our travel schedule and kind of learn where we're going to be. But in the Lone Star State, the Texas Homeschool Coalition, which describes its mission as supporting parents to homeschool with freedom and to encourage, equip, and advocate for families in their home education journey, announced several of its preferred candidates as having won in races on Super Tuesday. Quote, homeschool families saw vast numbers of pro-family and pro-homeschool candidates in Texas win their elections outright on Super Tuesday. That was a statement that was released from the group the day after those big wins. Look, again, what are parents seeing? Parents are seeing all that is at stake. They are seeing the daily attempts to wrestle their kids away from them. They are seeing the trash that their kids are being exposed to. And they're saying, you know what? We have the power. And I know that sounds rah, 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 but they really do have the power. They have the power to unseat evil people who are in positions of power, and they have abused those positions. They also have the power and the God-given authority to parent their children. And so when we start winning elections and we start to see candidates who care about the roles of parents in the lives of their children, and they see that they can win elections running on that platform, I think there's going to be a major shift that starts to happen in this country. And again, beginning at the local level, I think, you know, in our homes, because think about it, if the outrage doesn't happen in our homes and in our families first, then it won't even make its way to the polls.
Right. No, you're right. Exactly. And it's, again, encouraging to see what's going on, you know, and like we stated before, for me personally, I am excited about these elections, you know, and yes, you know, we know that there's a big presidential election, but when you're talking about really making some change, you know, in local areas and things that can really affect homes and families, like on the ground level, that's what we're seeing right now.
Man, look, at the same time that we are talking about parental rights winning big on Super Tuesday, you've got information coming out of Oklahoma where they are discovering that for years, you know, a local public school district has been using, exploiting kids to fundraise. I don't even know how you describe this. I don't even know how you make it make sense. But here is the article. Again, this coming from the Christian Post, a school district in Oklahoma is under scrutiny after multiple videos have emerged showing students. Guys, please forgive me. This is graphic to mention, but it is something that happened during school time with students and teachers or students and faculty present during this fundraising event. But the students were found licking feet and other body parts during fundraising events. Okay, more detail is absolutely necessary. Yes. Students at Edmond North and Edmond Memorial High Schools in Edmond, Oklahoma, were depicted licking peanut butter, chocolate, and other condiments from feet and armpits in footage taken from the school's YouTube channel. This is according to a local Fox News outlet, Fox 25. We have the video if you're going to watch this over on YouTube. I will just warn you, it is a little bit disturbing. If you're listening to the podcast, bear with us because it's probably even more cringeworthy when you can't actually see what's going on. But again, this is what parents are competing against. Here we go.
This video was taken from the YouTube channels of Edmond North and Memorial. Publicly posted footage of their students licking chocolate, peanut butter, and other condiments off feet and armpits, all during their week-long philanthropy events, known as Balto Week for Edmund North and Swine Week for Edmund Memorial. The most recent video is from 2020, but we found videos going back to 2015. We sent the video you just watched to Edmund Public Schools asking for their response. They noted the feet-licking quote didn't happen this year.
I don't care, like, I don't care what your thoughts are about creative fundraisers. Like, I mean, I can remember, you know, we used to sell peppermints, you know what I mean? I can remember selling, you know, carnations and roses and things like that, you know.
Right.
Everybody loves a good old bake sale, but I have never in all my life even come remotely close to imagining that someone would sit in a room and say, hey, I've got a great idea for a high school fundraiser. We're going to lick condiments off of people's bodies. Yeah. I just don't understand that. And you would think that it would be enough that it happened at one school, but it actually happened at another school in Oklahoma. And this is so troubling when you think about it. So you've got the Edmond Public School System, and they are saying in a statement that they are proud of their kids' fundraising efforts. They are proud of the money that the students have raised. Let me quote them here, and this is an exact quote. Quote, "We are proud of our students for the tireless work and immense effort that they put into each of our philanthropy weeks," a spokesperson for the district said, adding further, quote, "Already this school year, our North and Santa Fe students have raised more than $416,000 for local nonprofits, with Swine Week at Memorial still to come." Now, as I understand it, the Swine Week that took place in Oklahoma, and I want to make sure that these are still the same video here, because Fox 25 had another video of students licking toes. I don't know. I'm going to play the video. I think this is in a different location. And this one is courtesy of Libs of TikTok. So, man, they... aren't they providing a wonderful service to so many of us who do not want to go looking for these things, but they find these things and then post them? But again, here you go. If you're watching on YouTube, you'll be able to see it. But these are people's children licking the feet of teachers in the name of fundraising.
Crazy.
All right, here we go. So they're in a crowd cheering on the kids.
As he is devouring them.
Little kids are licking the toes of teachers. I mean, that's just, I don't understand that.
Yeah, it's crazy.
I don't understand. That is disturbing to watch. They're in a gym, and obviously there are a lot of students there all engaging in this. But this is tragic to me. Like, I, you know, again, I don't want to overuse terms, and I don't want to be sensational unnecessarily, but I feel like this is a form of child abuse. I feel like,
but the parents gotta be all right with that. They, right? I'm sure they know that this happens every year or whenever.
Well, yeah, that's true.
So it's like,
that's true.
What?
One of the local outlets, you know, found that they've been doing this since 2015.
So, I mean, the parents must be like, yeah, this is a great thing. Like, I just can't imagine.
Ooh, okay,
I can't imagine that.
So help me. Let me just take me, you know, how do you imagine this scenario goes? Your kid, 15 years old, comes home and says, hey, we're getting ready for a fundraiser and I'm going to participate in it. And it's, I don't even know what the fundraiser would be. Like, it is it who, I don't know. I don't know how you raise funds for this. But they say, okay. And so the thing is, I've got to lick chocolate, you know, and you're like, oh, okay. Okay. What else? And then they say, like, from one of our teachers' armpits.
No.
Like, what are you, like?
No.
I'm trying to,
no,
and again,
you're not.
Man, like, I don't want to be, I don't want to be.
Be what?
Rude to the parents. But I just think, I guess I think, what are you thinking as a parent that comes to you as a request and you're like, yeah, that's a good idea. That's a good use of your body. Like, that's a good thing for you to do, to lick peanut butter from your teacher's toes. You know what I mean? Like if you want to raise funds, come home and ask me to bake cupcakes. Now, I can't promise that my cupcakes will sell out because I'm not a baker, but I would be willing to contribute to that. I mean, yeah. bake a cupcake, sell it for $10 a cupcake. You know, right. You can raise funds. But why do we have to have our kids participating in sensual activities? I'm reminded of, you know, years past, we've talked about this, where you've got schools where kids are dancing on the laps of teachers. And they're saying they're doing that as a fundraiser and all of these things.
No
and,
sense.
You know, you remember we talked about the one school where they put a plexiglass yep. between them and the students, and they're in a licking competition. Mm-hmm. Like, I just don't understand. To me, that is so depraved. It is so sick. But these are the kinds of things that are motivating parents to run for races.
Yeah.
These are the kinds of things that are also motivating parents to take their kids out of these environments, because right. they say, you know what? We've trusted you guys to do a job, and that is to basically educate our kids. You're failing at that. And then also you're working against our efforts to instill in them a firm moral foundation, a right. firm moral conviction. And so parents are saying, you know what? We're taking our kids out. And then also we're going to run for office to make sure that for the kids who are left in this system, they actually have a safe space to be in for their education. Like, I mean, this is just sick to me.
Yeah, it is. I can't imagine parents say, okay, yeah, let's do that, and being excited about that. But apparently, since 2015 or whatever, whenever it was, parents have, I guess, signed off on this. I just can't imagine that. And it just shows you where we are.
Yes.
That is just nasty.
Absolutely nasty. You know, and I would say this, and as we wrap up this episode, you know, man, shame on the parents who signed off on that, whether literally or figuratively speaking. The parents who gave permission for their kids to lick, you know, teachers' toes, to lick faculty armpits. Shame on you as a parent. You know, yeah, it's horrible that the school did it. But again, I want to come right. for the parents. I'm
That's
saying
right.
you are the first stop. You're the first right. line of protection. And so for you to say, yeah, this is going to be good for my kid. It's just sad, though. You've got girls licking the feet of men. And, you know, I don't understand that. Like, I don't understand a dad or a mom who would say yes
nope.
to my daughter doing this.
No.
You know, I just feel like it's really sick.
Yeah, no.
Anyway, it makes me sad. But I got to tell you, the good news here, the upswing, is that we've got parents who have had enough and they're doing something about it. Not only are they stepping up and parenting their kids, but while they do that, so they're spinning that plate, they step over and they spin the plate and say, you know what? And we're also going to unseat some of these people who allow for this stuff to happen
right.
in our school district. And so kudos to them. I think that we should keep watching and see what happens. Also, kudos to the Texas Homeschool Coalition, who vetted candidates and then made it known these are our choices.
Yes.
It just shows the power of the parent.
That's right.
The power of the parent. All right. When we resist those cultural trends that rival the truth, we remain culture proof. Until next time, Lord willing.
God bless.
And here, out of this suffering of St. Patrick, came evangelizing, or evangelization. Evangelism.
If you add zation to any word, it becomes what you want it to be.
At any rate, all of that will be edited out. Here's what I want to say. You can put that in the post roll, okay? It sounds like they're in a gymnasium. What am I talking about? Am I like 75? They're in a gym, and no offense to our 75-year-old listeners, but you know, they're just somewhere. You have to edit that out. And saying gymnasium doesn't make you an older bully. I feel like people are like, that's ageism. Are you discriminating against me on the basis of age?
Boy.
But those same people would say that, you know, the office of the presidency. Listen, no, but you've got girls in the videos licking the feet. You've got girls in videos again. Put it in the post roll. They're licking those are the post rolls and become the outtakes of Culture Proof, okay? I'm gonna have a lot. lot of post roll after this one. Feats. Evangelism. Evangelization. Evangelismization. Evangelismination.
We are here to say today it is the duplicization of a nation. We have the evangelization.
Oh, boy.
That's when you're trying to, like, think of, you know, you're just trying to be smart. That's what it is. At a very basic level, your brain is fried and you're trying to act like it's not.
Yeah.
So anyway, just fix it. Make me look good, okay? I give you permission to put it in post, but I don't care how max headroom it gets. Like, it'd be like sometimes things can be so over edited that it's like, I don't care. Just whatever it takes, so that when people first hear it, they're like, she's brilliant. They're like, man. What is this, velvet? When she talks, I'm like, what is this? You know, it's like it's a fabric that's velvet. Oh. But everything else you can just put in post. JD, you know who's going to love editing this video?
Oh, JD, buddy. Man.
You're welcome, buddy. Knock yourself out with this one.
Earn your money on this one.
Oh, and he will remind us. All right.